Oh, no, I've got it. I've got it. It's so simple. Cody Rhodes wins because Goldberg spears Gunther.
Of course it is.
That's it.
Of course it is. And then, as Cody lifts the belt up, the Rock's music hits. He comes down, rock bottom, pins Cody, takes the title, and then not only is he the people's champ, but he's also the Saudi champ. And now he's got two completely fucking useless belts to carry around.
Oh my god.
Thanos collecting the stones. This is what he's going to do.
That's amazing. Positive things are happening in the world, aren't they?
Positive things.
Positive things.
Speaking of positive things, the podcast with the best intros in the biz. Best intros, best outros. definitely not us.
Maybe we'll take a course on intros and outros.
One day.
I should ask ChatGPT, actually. I've been having a closer relationship with ChatGPT lately. We've been talking a lot. We've been getting to know
each other. Oh,
have you? Yeah. I'm integrating with the tech now. So, well, the other week I did that fantasy faction championship belt on there. So it got me thinking, like, what else can it make? And I gave it a picture of me. And I said...
Oh, I don't like where this is going at all.
No, it's not. It's not bad. I said, you know, take this face and do like a championship belt celebration, like, and it came up with something like meh, pretty basic. It didn't really look like me, so I'll keep working on it. But it's, yeah, we're just getting to know each other more, me and ChatGPT.
I love it.
ChatGPT is a great fantasy faction player, by the way. I think currently ChatGPT is fourth.
Oh, what a joke.
Better than you.
But I mean, literally everybody is better than me. One thing I cannot forget. I genuinely thought I was going to return and storm this season, and I don't think I finished in the top half once yet. I need to seriously figure this out. This is absolutely ridiculous.
Talked it up too much. I mean, I have a theory that the universe doesn't like braggarts, doesn't like people saying I'm going to storm this league. But it seems to work for Nikolai. So,
corruption.
Which, by the way, I didn't want to reveal this to the group or put it in a post because I didn't think it was fair. But Nikolai hit the nail on the head before this round. He asked, like, if PCO defends two belts, is that two title matches? I was like, yes. Every belt gets the bonus points, and PCO almost said OCP. PCO 2 weeks in a row has defended both those belts in a gimmick match. So over 100 points there. And so if he's your captain, as we know, you get double the points. So he's had PCO as his captain for the last 2 weeks. He will probably hold the crown going into the final week. But as things work out, it's a week-to-week points game. So he may have blew his load early there. Looking at his team, it's AEW heavy. And if the round ends at Crown Jewel, then fortune's going to favor the people that have gone WWE heavy.
Yep, absolutely.
Such a strategic game is this.
So much strategy.
That's why I think we... you know, can't do intros and outros and all that. We just put all of our stock and effort into the complexities of the game. We're just knackered by the end of it. This is really, you're getting the extras here, listeners. You're getting what's left of us for these here podcasts.
Oh, just looking at my team. I mean, Swerve, nothing. Tony Storm, nothing. Roxanne, DIY, nothing. Joe Henry, minus 10.
Just lost, yep.
Just what a joke. What a joke.
Bad week for you there. So DIY, your team, they obviously had a heartbreaking loss to Motor City Machine Guns. Joe Hendry, as you mentioned there, screwed by JBL. Bound for Glory, and also Jordan Grace, who we both have lost to Masha Slamovic.
Not good.
Which probably suggests Miss Jordan Grace is headed for another Royal Rumble appearance and a little more regular viewings on WWE, NXT, perhaps?
Quite possibly.
Going forward.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say to you before we came on, actually. When you were talking there about your new opportunities and everything.
Yes.
I had... saw a quote the other day on a on Jordan Grace's Instagram. It may have been yesterday, and it was something to the effect of comfort is the enemy of progress. That suggests to me that, you know, Jordan Grace has sort of, I think it's fair to say, hit her ceiling in TNA and is now, you know, pushing that ceiling and taking that leap of faith and going to those extra places. So I think that's sort of similar to your situation, is it not?
It sounds sounds like we're attending the same classes. 100%. Yeah, can definitely vouch for that. Those very wise words. Obviously, the main event of this audio diarrhea that people will be listening to right now will be Crown Jewel and all things diamond encrusted and stool like. But there's been a lot going on at the minute in the old world of wrestling. So it's always good to just have a chat through, you know, age a podcast as such as this, by talking about the season and things that are currently going on. Biggest bit of news probably this week in the world of wrestling. It's definitely something that I imagine is been on your mind a lot. For the past few days, Dustin Rhodes, formerly known as Goldust, has declared that he would like to have the first official wrestling match in space after that video has been doing the rounds of the astronauts in training or whatever, like just doing all sorts of like insane wrestling and Matrix style moves. So that got me thinking. How do we book such a match? First ever pro wrestling match in space, Dustin Rhodes. How would you book it?
Well, I'm glad you asked, because as you know, I am a booking extraordinaire, as you will have seen in the Fantasy Faction group message. Hashtag hire me, Tony. Getting that campaign going. Good question. This got my creative juices a flowing.
Oh, please. Please don't say juices. We know what you've been asking ChatGPT to do.
Oh, that's right. You have access to that account, don't you? Space match. Yes.
Space match.
So I thought about what kind of match I would want to see in space. Like, classic elements of a pro wrestling rivalry, so that the people against each other, they have to have some history, you've got to have a backstory there. High stakes, it's got to be high stakes, so something on the line, you know, great reward for the winner, but peril for the loser. And then also kind of what kind of match, gimmick match could you have that, you know, we've seen on Earth, but could also possibly work in space with some little differences. So I do not know what we'll call it. Maybe it'll come to me. But the match in space, I'm going to go for Gold Dust versus Stardust.
Oh, right? Nice.
Cody Rhodes comes back as Stardust. So you got the brother-brother rivalry.
There it is.
Stardust in space. It's perfect. Obvious, right?
I love it.
So Gold Dust is defending the honor of planet Earth, where all the gold is, the gold standard, if you will, right?
Excellent. You've been thinking about this.
Yeah. And then Stardust, you know, he's an Elon Musk fan. He's in the colonized Mars kind of the group. He thinks we've advanced from the Earth, and Stardust thinks we belong more out there now, interplanetary species and all that. So, Goldust representing Earth, Stardust representing Mars. They're going to have a four corners match.
Nice.
And the winner obviously gets all four corners. But the high stakes is, before this match, people have decided whether they want to live on Earth or whether they want to live on Mars. All right? So these four corner buttons, these are, let's say...
This is very complicated.
Nuclear launching pads, right?
Right.
Or Mars will survive. You have to pick where you want to go. Are you on Team Mars, Team Earth?
And wow.
So those high stakes, you're really invested because your planet might get blown up, so that adds to the drama of the old pro wrestling. You know what I mean. So during this match, one twist could be that every so often they mess with the gravity settings, so it'll be in a dome sort of.
Ooh, okay.
Maybe, but you've got maybe Elon Musk or someone on the gravity button, and every so often it's like, ooh, he's getting to the corners. Nope. And then the gravity for 5 minutes is gone, and they have to navigate that. So anyway, there's my match. Hashtag hire me, Tony.
Like was it the Austin Vince ladder match when the briefcase went up?
Yeah.
That. I don't know if you've seen the new Alien film.
Not yet.
Alien. Well, there's so. Okay, interesting that you've not, because I won't spoil anything. But
someone messes with the gravity button.
Familiar.
Okay.
There might be gravity shenanigans. So basically, a four corners planetary genocide match.
Yes.
Excellent.
That's the working title. Yeah.
I like it. So I had two thoughts on this. One was, straight away, for some reason, I was like, oh my God, imagine getting one last Dustin Rhodes, Terry Funk match. But then I was like, obviously we can't have that. So then I was like, oh, Foley's last match in space. Mrs. Foley's baby. You could even do a whole, you could have him be each character, like Dustin just keeps pinning him, and then he goes up behind a curtain, then comes back out again. It'd be hilarious. But then I was like, do you know what? It's in the interest of fairness. This should be a unifying sign of peace.
Oh, you've gone the opposite route.
The four big ones, the four big companies. I'm going four corners. But not to touch, my friend. I'm going fatal four-way on this bad boy.
Okay.
Representing AEW, you've got Dustin Rhodes. Representing WWE, R-Truth.
Oh, yes.
Representing TNA, say his name and he'll appear. Gotta have Joe Hendry up in space.
He'll appear anywhere.
And then...
or otherwise.
And then I was, and this might be deeply offensive, and I apologize if it is, but I was thinking, right, and then you've got to have someone from Japan, and I was thinking, like, New Japan, who do you have? And I was like, why does it have to be New Japan? Yoshihiko from DDT, the wrestling sex doll.
Oh, my God.
Rhodes, Truth, Hendry, and Yoshihiko in space would be money. It would be the most watched wrestling match of all time.
As the kids say, that would be a goated match.
That would be, I mean, R-Truth in space. Can R-Truth. You imagine?
Take my money right now.
100%. Absolutely. My God, the memes. Think of the memes. Yeah, I love the idea of that.
This got me thinking about, like, after this, obviously this will not be a one and only match in space. So it's like, where can you go from here? How many different dynamics can you have in space? So the David versus Goliath story, Carly versus Ray, not really the same in space.
No, true.
Yeah, that situation.
Yeah. Hornswoggle versus Andre the Giant.
Anyone, 50-50. That's the equal. Gravity is the ultimate equalizer in pro wrestling, is it not?
It really is, yeah.
Think about it.
I like it.
I've thought of that before. Eh? Gravity, yeah. That's the equalizer. If you figure out gravity, you will own pro wrestling. Yeah.
You could never have an I Quit match because in space, no one can hear you scream.
There you go.
There you go. See, there's. Get us on the board. Get us on the board. We'll make this federation fly.
Those. Do you know also, if you were somehow able to get someone's shoulders to the mat, those three counts would be awfully long, wouldn't they?
That one.
Might have to figure out. Yeah, there's some kinks to figure out.
Yeah. So you've got to remain inside the spaceship. If you go outside the spaceship, you've got 10 seconds of oxygen to get back in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it. Dom Mysterio would be the first victim of that. I can just see it now.
Yeah. Dom would be constantly taking off his dad's helmet and then nailing a cheeky little roll-up, small package.
Imagine all the Kofi spots he could do in space. Kofi in space.
Meteor, he'd be hopping on meteors and satellites, all sorts of shit. So good.
Oh my god, we should. I'm gonna think on this more and come back to it. The next time we record, I'm gonna come up with some more space matches for us.
The end of the known universe would be Braun Strowman heading one way around the sun, Braun Breaker heading the other, and they just collide in the middle. Imagine the shock. Maybe that was the Big Bang.
Might have been, you know.
Could have been.
That's how it all starts again, like time being a flat circle and all that. That's just the concept. Yeah. It all started with Braun Breaker and Braun Strowman.
Yes. Yeah.
Spear.
The great choo-choo noise before there was.
God. Yeah, Jacob Fatu would send the moon out of orbit. just for a laugh.
Yes.
Did you see that, by the way? Did you see Jacob Fatu and Braun Breaker face to face?
Oh, I did. This is what's exciting is that obviously the Bloodline story will continue and long may it, because it is still, you know, there's still a lot to go on that. Mm-hmm. But there's still all the possibilities of all these characters that are contained within this story still have an entire roster of people to face up against.
Yeah.
Like, it's class. It's absolutely class. I love it. I love it.
They're doing it can be tricky when you have a roster split and then you kind of go away from it. Like, it can seem quite clunky mixing stories and shows together. But I think WWE are getting kind of a fine balance in setting stuff up, not making it seem as clunky, kind of getting you excited, weaving in certain stories with others without necessarily overdoing it. It seems like they're going into a lot of like thought with those little details. And have been for a while, really. Like, the Bloodline story's been had its it's been a big complex theater, like a Broadway show throughout. I guess I did want to get to the Bloodline story for a bit. Do you want to chat about that for a sec?
Yeah, I mean, so let's. I'll tell you what. Then let's tie that in with the start of Crown Jewel, I guess. And then when we get halfway through, I've got another question for you. Given the season, but we'll use it to break up the crown stool of it all. But yeah, let's jump into Bloodline chat.
So I've got some criticisms this week. I don't want to be that guy.
Oh, here we go already.
But it's just because I care. No, I've seen some grumblings online, people getting sort of over the Bloodline story now that it's getting stretched out. I hope it keeps going because I think it's a great challenge to keep it fresh and keep, quote unquote, the same story going, when really it's not the same story because it's interwoven with so many other people's stories, but the bloodline era, as I call it, I think still has legs. The only thing is we've got Jay back in with Roman and Jimmy.
Yeah.
And so basically how that has gone is Jimmy came back and he's teamed up with Roman again against this dominant force in Solo and his bloodline. Mm-hmm. Jay off doing his own thing, seemingly staying out of it, winning his first singles title after years mm-hmm. and years and years, finally I think cementing that main event Jey Uso status. But then it seems a little rushed here. So Jey hopped over to SmackDown to give Solo a talking to, saying what's going on. Let's get this family feud over. And then the following Monday night, Bloodline comes over, screws Jey,
mm-hmm.
giving Jey a reason to hate the new Bloodline. Now he's back with the old OG with a common enemy type thing. It seems a little simple and rushed, considering the impact that they put into, you know, Jey being bullied by Roman and that being a whole toxic thing, and Jey losing his brother over the thing, and so. I don't know. I would have liked to have seen Jey kind of give Roman a dressing down, a talking to, sort of saying like, this isn't just a simple baby face versus heel moment here. It's nice that we're back together and family, and that's great. But all that shit you did was like the worst time in my career, the most difficult time in my career. Like, I'm with you now. We're against a common enemy here. Like, we're family. I love you and all that.
Yeah.
But you should never do that fucking shit to anyone again.
Mm-hmm.
Something to that effect. Like, don't you dare belittle me. Don't you dare treat me like that ever again. Who are you? Who the fuck are you? That
mm-hmm. kind of thing.
Just a little humbling moment for Roman to be mm-hmm. like, yeah, I'm seeing the error of my ways now. And I love you. Let's get this back together. Let's get back to the heart of it. So there's an adage to that. And sorry, I'm rambling on now. I've had a lot of caffeine. So I can forgive that if it turns out that Jey is not actually back with Roman and maybe is working with The Rock, or is working by himself to not really, you know, get back with Roman, and maybe he's not let that go. I don't like that he's so easily just gone back in, you know?
I wish they'd made a little bit more of the threat to take what was most important to Jey away. So, like, with the Intercontinental title, I wish they'd have had lent a little bit more on that, and, you know, a bit more of Solo trying to recruit him and schmooze him, but also kind of, you know, have that, you either join us or it'd be a shame for something terrible to happen,
mm-hmm.
And for your record to be blemished, you know, for all of time, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And to have dragged out the, again, you know, the Roman refusing to ask him for help, Jimmy trying to get him, you know, convince him to mm-hmm. that it's needed. You know, Jimmy and Jey have still got unresolved issues, but the greater good kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's probably a little bit more time for that still, but then again, I think they got sidetracked with, I guess, the Cody stuff and SummerSlam and Ed, there's a little bit of me that wonders if they've had a little pressure on them to have the Bloodline in Saudi for us to all of a sudden be in a situation where we've got a six-man tag at Crown Jewel, Bloodline versus Bloodline, feels like all of a sudden that's happening. And I wonder whether there's been pressure that to be put together. You know, if the Saudis probably weren't happy at the fact that Roman Reigns wasn't going to be there, at the fact that the biggest story in wrestling over the last few years, you know, wasn't going to be featured. Mm-hmm. It seems a bit strange for there to be no presence at all. I think it would have been really good to have had Jay be cost the title at Crown Jewel, because you could have had
cost the title. Like,
you could have had.
Oh yeah.
So you could have had Jay versus Bron at Crown Jewel, mm-hmm. and then you could have had, you know, Solo sending the brothers in, sending Jacob in to, you know, fight for Jay. There's a mix, you know, Jimmy comes down, there's a standoff, you know, Jay ends up getting screwed, Roman comes down, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, it is what it is now. I think I can't see Crown Jewel going straight. I can't see it just being a match and a victory, because it has to be heading towards an escalation for War Games.
Yeah, it'll be unresolved here, won't it? Yeah.
Yeah. I guess it's whether or not The Rock will appear at Crown Jewel or not, or whether they'll save that for Survivor Series.
Probably save it. I do wonder if it's anything to do with the fact that, you know, they weren't able to get Brock Lesnar on this card, who's kind of a you know, golden boy of the Saudi shows, right? And I know he's not been on everyone, but he'd be a, you know, big one that the crown prince would want at the show, right? Because that's how it works. They request the big hitters on their shows. And if you take the bloodline out and you don't have, you know, a Brock Lesnar on this card, then you know, or a Goldberg, you know, those kind of names that they love, then it's not a it doesn't seem like a card worthy of the crown prince, if you get me.
Yeah. I see that.
It's great, it's happening. Don't know if it'll open or close the show, but yeah, it'll surely be the feud will be unresolved. I can see it being a happy finish where, well, I guess should we do our match predictions now then?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Yeah, let's do it. So I can see the ending being, you know, a nice combination, couple of super kicks from the Usos, and then a big spear to finish off the goat Tongaloa. That kind of thing. You know, lately it's been all Solo's bloodline getting the momentum, and now the originals are picking up that steam again. So I expect Roman and the Usos to get that win here, and then really get Solo's crew amped up and ready to take it to another level.
Yeah,
going into War Games, because it'll have to get ramped up now.
It's
got about 4 weeks to really, really light the gasoline.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Roman Usos, I think.
I'm steering towards a no contest, you know.
0 points for fantasy faction people. You going for a zero?
I'm going for a big fatty. Because I mean, looking at the stats, obviously Jey Uso is the front runner in terms of form.
Yep.
So far this year, 62% win. No, in fact, he's not. So he's had more matches. He's on 62% win average. Okay. Tama Tonga's almost 70% win. That's a lot. Like, Tama Tonga's the man.
And he is.
Tonga Loa's on 60. So for all that people rip on him, like,
stats, mate, stats don't lie.
Solo's 50-50. Jacob's only at 45%, so he's lost more than he's won so far. I think, you know, this probably takes into account house shows as well, which obviously for the game we don't, you know, we don't include. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm going to go. I mean, I'm tempted to go the new bloodline over the OTC, but I'm just going to go this thing. Just like the wheels come off.
No contest.
I think the wheels come off. I think we go to, and then it escalates. So we get to War Games, and then my early prediction for War Games, a Paul Heyman interference potentially wins it for the OTC,
mm-hmm.
only for a returning Rock to escalate things further, let's say.
We gotta get Heyman back soon, haven't we?
It's gonna be a moment. It's gonna be. He's not just gonna wander back in, surely. Like, it's gotta be a moment, right?
Oh yeah, it's not gonna be a throwaway.
No, definitely not.
That's gonna be the story of the night. I think when Heyman comes back, that will be what everyone's talking about that night. Mm-hmm. I just don't know. Hanging.
I know. What are your thoughts on... So, skipping forward a little bit to War Games, what are your thoughts on, you know, is it 3 versus 3? Is it 4 versus 4? Who's the fourth man?
I did want to ask you about that.
Is it going to be Sammy?
That's tough. I want to keep Cody away from it. I want to get Cody away from the bloodline for a bit and get the WWE Championship, you know, going with like Randy and Owens in a three-way. The Sami Zayn, though, again, it's a leap for Sami to forgive Roman in the next 4 weeks and then say, hey, we're all back together again. And that's tough. I'm 50-50 on Sami. It would be a great moment. Jay would have to be the one to bring him in and convince him that, you know, do this for me, like, one time, brother.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking it's got to be 4-on-4, because, you know, why would you not put the four, you know, Solo, Tama, Tonga, and Jacob? Yeah. But it's I'm 50-50 on Sammy and 50-50 on whether it's going to be a debuting new bloodline member.
Okay. Because I've seen a lot of people online that are like desperately clawing at like anything they can find to convince them that Jacob is going to switch is interesting. I've seen a lot of people that like, miscommunication. Because I mean, I'll tell you what I wouldn't hate at this point,
mm-hmm.
is The Rock coming back, kicking Solo out because he's not done the job that he was tasked with.
Mm.
And then The Rock takes the lead with Tama, with Tonga, and with Jacob. And then Solo ends up back with, you know, original bloodline ends up back. I wouldn't hate it. Because I think The Rock's a big enough, you know, character, a big enough heel to make that make sense.
I wouldn't hate it, but I would feel that it's rushed. It's a lot of switching around again in those 4 weeks. I would think it'd be more plausible if The Rock were to, you know, team up with Roman and the Usos, because we can only assume that The Rock and Roman aren't any longer on the same page. The last time we saw them together, they were, but it's only suggested that they're not. So we have to assume that they are.
Yeah.
You could get The Rock in there and then, you know, do your turns,
mm-hmm.
Within that match. I would take The Rock over Sammy.
Yeah. Also, does Sammy going in plant a, plant another seed for a eventual Cody heel turn. Cody gets overlooked from his friend Jay from being recruited in for Sammy. Cody's feuding with Owens. Sammy going in could then be another catalyst for Owens to pick a fight with Sammy afterwards. Why are you getting involved in it all again? You know, betray me, your oldest friend, for Jay and the people that we've, you know, fought, won the gold against, da-da-da-da-da. But looking down the line, like, Cody was good enough at SummerSlam to be picked to be Roman's partner.
Mm-hmm.
But all of a sudden, you're overlooking the champ. Bruised ego.
I really want dark-haired Cody to return.
Oh, yes.
Black suit.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's got to be where it goes.
Yep. Even like the Gunther promo this last week that was like, I know, I can... Did you see it? When Gunther was like, I can say no. I can say no to these people. I can say no to the, you know, the charities, the Make-A-Wish kids and all that kind of stuff. It was like, oh.
I mean, yeah, I guess ultimate power turns you mad. Like when you're the king, like Cody could, turn into sort of, He's trying to bring WWE together. It's too much to carry on his shoulders. He's going to crack. That's a great direction to go.
It's interesting. Cool. But yeah, it's exciting. It's still, I mean, I get, you know, look, is the current Bloodline story as gripping, as engaging as it was originally? Probably not. Do I feel like Solo and Co are a legit threat like the original Bloodline were? Not yet, but there's still time. There's still time, and we've not even got to the Rock of it all yet, technically, with this story. Like, so Rock made a promise. Rock made a promise. 1, 2, 3. There's three marked men, and there's going to be more to fall yet. There's a lot of story yet in this one. So, yeah, bring it on.
It's so great knowing that we do have a huge Rock moment coming that we can wait for. When for so many years, the Rock coming back was a surprise. Like, will he show up and do a promo tonight a little bit? But now we know that we have a really intense storyline moment with the Rock coming. It's exciting, man.
It is.
So glad the final boss is back. God love Dave Graca for getting this Cody train going and then birthing the final boss.
Yeah.
I don't care what the documentary says. LaGreca is behind all this. LaGreca's the genius. Shout out to Busted Open. Right. I guess let's weave into another match that's sort of related to that, and then we can get to one of your other brilliant questions.
Sweet. So,
do you want to... We touched a little bit on Kevin Owens there.
Yeah.
He's going one-on-one with Randy Orton.
He's indeed.
I'm on Team Owens, by the way.
Of course you are.
This guy, there's something going on here behind the scenes. Kevin Owens is the only one that stayed true to himself here, right? So Cody's gone back and teamed with Roman. So he's snapped. He's like, what's going on? I thought we were so against all this stuff for years, and now we're teaming up again. So it's interesting that they're not letting him talk about it, because I think if he were to logically explain it, Kevin Owens does come off looking like sort of the good guy, which then this could lean a little bit in. So Cody may have had a word with the higher ups and say, like, we can't have this guy running his mouth off. You know, we've got to keep things good around here. And then it maybe leads more into the power mad Cody thing that we've just talked about for like 10 minutes. Interesting when it'll be interesting when Kevin Owens is allowed to fully explain himself here. It will be a great, be a good match. I think Kevin Owens should probably get the win, but he needs to be he needs to come out of this match feeling a little, you know, more peeved with the situation. And so
yeah,
I reckon, and Randy's probably going to take it, and then hopefully. Yeah, three-way down the line at Survivor Series with Randy, Owen, and Cody for the belt. I hope that's where it goes.
That'd be great. That'd be so good, because then you can tee up, you know, tease that Cody-Randy one-on-one as well. I mean, yeah, Owens, I think, is the in-form of the two at the minute. So round six, so build-up to and including SummerSlam, I think that was. Owens finished the round on plus 20 points. Orton ended on zero, and he's on zero for this round as well. In terms of the year, though, they're both quite similar. So Orton has had, let me see now, 24 broadcasted matches, 54% win rate. Owens has had two less, 22 matches, and he's on 45%. So Orton's just ahead in that terms, in terms of the year. Obviously, they were tag partners for a good chunk of time too. But yeah, I could see Randy winning it. However, they did such a big build of it with Triple H coming out. Not, you know, Chief Creative Officer Paul Levesque, but as Randy put it, you know, the cerebral assassin, the game, the man that sledgehammered my house door down and threw me through my own living room window. It does make me wonder if Owens is going to do something to him. It makes me wonder if, for story purposes, Randy's in danger.
You were suggesting that, weren't you? Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm going to go Orton as well. And then whether or not there'll be an assault after the bell or not, I don't know. But I think I'm going to agree with you on that one.
Yeah. I think a good obvious spot for them to go for would be Owen doing a powerbomb onto the ring apron and onto Randy's back, which is always a talked about thing there. So that'd probably be a good spot there. Yeah. I mean, Randy's asked for it. So, yeah. Whether he wins the match or not, he's kind of got to get it. Yeah. Nice. So you're going Orton?
Yeah, going Orton as well.
Boom. Right.
Nice.
Should we deviate then a little bit? Have you got another question?
Let's go on a slight spooky tangent, shall we? So it is, you know, as we record, we are a mere few days away from Halloween. In fact, tonight is NXT Halloween Havoc. Me and the missus have been watching a lot of scary movies lately, and it made me think, spookiest faction of all time. Now, obviously, we could just say the Ministry and then move on. We could do that, but we don't want to do that. So if we were to build the spookiest faction of all time, no naked Midians allowed, who would be in that faction? All timer, spookiest wrestling gimmicks.
You know what? I actually have put naked Midian. The scariest Amazing. Of all.
The scariest of all.
All right. We'll cross him out. All
I
right.
mean, no. You include that huge pasty white ass if that's what keeps you up at night. Let's do it.
It does. It gives me the willies.
Oh, I mean, there's enough of that underneath that bum bag.
Oh, right. So, fantasy faction is 8 singles wrestlers and 1 tag team.
Yeah.
So, all right. I guess we'll. Name ours and see if we can come up with a final 8 and 2.
Let's start with tag team, right?
Okay.
And this might be controversial, but I was trying to think of a spooky tag team, and I kept thinking LOD, right? I kept thinking Legion of Doom, but I was like, are they really scary? And I was like, well, you know what we probably should do, to be fair? The biggest, scariest tag team of all time. Surely it's got to be Brothers of Destruction. Kane and The Undertaker. As your tag. Right?
I mean, thinking about when it was their run. So I wrote down some wrestlers here, and then I thought, well, what sort of versions of that wrestler would fit in best? So the Brothers of Destruction, their heyday was like American Badass Undertaker and Kane in his leotard, not as scary. You know what I mean?
It was, but probably the scariest they ever were was in that match with Triple H and Shawn Michaels. Was that Crown Jewel?
That was scary. That was dangerous.
The disaster. Yeah.
It was one of the Super Saudi shit shows. Yeah.
That was the dead man.
True. Yeah. That's fair.
That's pretty terrifying.
I mean, it was so scary that people just did not want to see anything like that ever again. So.
Did you have any thoughts on spooky tag teams?
Well, I kind of thought back to Harper and Rowan when they had that little run.
Oh,
they had the big, like, sledgehammers or whatever they were.
Bludgeon Brothers.
The Bludgeon Brothers, yeah.
Yes.
The Bludgeon Brothers. Not to lean too much on Ministry, but Acolytes, maybe.
Okay. Yeah.
Before their APA days. But I think my pick would be, the Bludgeon Brothers.
Bludgeon Brothers. Lock it in. Yeah, nice. That's our team. Right. Yeah, you're totally right there.
Yeah. Speaking of Kane and Undertaker, I would put Kane in his sort of See No Evil era. You know, when his mask came off and he was that
really?
Kane.
No. No mask Kane you'd put in.
But he was, I mean, that this version of Kane was literally in a horror movie.
You know what I mean? Yeah, true. Yeah, that's fair. So,
like, that's very the evil, very Halloween.
Yeah, Towelhead. Yeah. Towelhead Kane. Okay. Well, we've got to go for, like, 91, 92 Undertaker.
Yeah, the purple gloves.
Yeah, early making kids cry in the arena, Taker. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. He really broke. So, I mean, there was supernatural stuff before him, I guess, but he sort of broke a mold like that version of Undertaker. He would get slammed and then all of a sudden just sit up, and that's like there was no cell.
Yeah,
but it was believable no sell. It was like sort of scary no sell. So yeah, I put down Ministry Undertaker, but I'm more on board with what you're saying there.
Sweet. Look at this. Yeah. We're blasting through them. So we've got two, and we've got a tag.
Danhausen gets a mention, but I think he's probably more of a prospect and not actually in the faction.
The Jimmy Hart of this faction, the mouthpiece.
Kamala, wrestler, not Harris.
Yeah, Kamala. Yeah.
I'm kidding.
Yeah.
But Kamala. Trump would be scary in this faction.
I mean, 100%. So much orange.
So much orange. The Boogeyman.
The Boogeyman. Boogeyman could go in. So you've got, you know, so I'm tempted to say you've got potentials like Nikki Cross. Mm-hmm. You've got Alexa when she was all evil and fiend-like.
Yep.
Abaddon. Abaddon's probably a good shout.
Abaddon.
Fucking terrifying. Jesus.
Yeah.
Do you know what though? Like going back a little bit to more kind of WCW days, the Scream Queen Daphne was a big fan of Daphne.
Daphne's a good shout, actually. Yeah, that was very yeah, that was a very menacing gimmick, wasn't it? Who was she? Who did she partner up with? Was it? Who was it from ECW? Wasn't she with the Sandman for a bit?
I think she was. I want to say, because I remember in WCW she was with David Flair. So there was the whole thing with David Flair and Crowbar, and then I can't remember if she was in Raven's Flock for a bit or not.
Oh, Raven. Yeah. Oh, Raven has to go in.
Raven's a very good shout.
OG Boiler Room Mankind.
Oh, yes.
All right. Because you've got to plant this faction all over the arena. Nowhere you can go where you're safe. You've got Mankind hanging out back there. You've got Kane hanging out in dark rooms. Harper and Rowan just waiting to bludgeon you when you go out to the ring. I mean, Alexa. So I wrote down here the Fiend with Alexa. And maybe we just put the Fiend in, but yeah, Alexa maybe just on the peripheries. But the Fiend is, I mean, that it got to be a shoo-in, right?
Yeah, 100% has to be. Has to be
Jake the Snake's.
So I was gonna say, I mean, a Jake the Snake promo in those early 90s were unreal. Unreal. So good.
And he literally brings a snake into the faction. Now we've got a whole thing there.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it.
Different personality types in it.
Abyss.
Abyss. PCO?
PC? No, because purely because Nikolai's scored so many points with that old fucker this month already. Absolutely. The man's like 70 years old. How's he still defending two titles?
Well, yeah, we need the points as well. We got to think about that. It's not just whether these people actually will do a job. I mean, Raven with all those hardcore title defenses. Oh my god, I'm so glad we don't live in the hardcore 24/7 era. These points updates, man, would be insane. Oh, so let's see. We got the tag team. We got Harper and Rowan down. We've got See No Evil Kane.
Yeah,
the Fiend. OG Mankind. Daphne and Purple Glove Undertaker. So I think we need three more singles guys. Jake the Snake, did we say?
Jake the Snake, yeah, you could put Jake in.
So two more singles. Who we said? We've got Raven, Abaddon, Boogeyman.
I mean, she's never done it in WWE, really. Although we thought we were going to get it when she returned at the Rumble, but it kind of went in a different direction. But Asuka, when she's got the fucked up clown makeup on, like when she was in Japan, what was the...
Kana.
Yes.
Kana, right? Yeah, Kana was a killer.
Yeah.
So Kana has to go in.
Yeah.
God. Dominating every division. All right, one more. So Abaddon. Evil Uno? No.
Evil Uno.
It's Abaddon or Boogeyman for me. Raven. Oh, God, Raven. Just for the personality type, just all the different personalities. Fuck. Boogeyman would get my shout for the last one.
I mean, you know, like, I even like Shotzi, like,
yeah, Shotzi, unpredictable, even though, wild.
Yeah, she's not scary, but she fits in with that group of people perfectly, right?
Would thrive in that group.
Yeah. Yeah. Leading them to the ring in a tank.
Could get a wild card. She could be the wild card pick of our group there.
She could be. It's always good to have a wild card.
The outside of the box pick.
I might have to put a vote in for Shotzi there. I mean, I know Boogeyman. Like, you can't not really, can you? But
Let's go for, because how many women we got? Daphne, Kana, and three women. Good. We'll dominate that division there. Go on, we'll give Shotzi a go.
Go on, Shotzi lad.
We'd give her a year, and then Abaddon's knocking on the door though.
I feel like Abaddon would still be in the orbit of this group, but she would just appear. Do you know what I mean? She'd just like fuck with people's heads.
Right, we've got a team. Right, so ultimate spooky fantasy faction. We've got Daphne, Purple Glove Undertaker, Boiler Room Mankind, The Fiend, See No Evil Kane, Jake the Snake, Shotzi Blackheart, and the Bludgeon Brothers. That's a great team.
What a team. What a team. Get that mocked up on Photoshop and on the bloody stories. Right, speaking of scary shit, back to Crown Jewel. Two matches down, right? Five to go?
Two matches down, yeah. Go on.
I was going to say, we've got a big Fatal 4-Way tag match for the women's titles.
Yes. So 30 points for a title match win, 10 points for a pay-per-view win. Mm. If it's a tag team, that'll obviously double. So it would be 80 points for the winning team of this match. We've got Cargill and Belair. Let's go. Damage Control, Kairi Sane, Io Sky. Metaphor. I like that. Metaphor.
Metaphor.
Last legend, Jakara Jackson. Good call ups there. Chelsea Green, Piper Niven.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, it's the women's tag division, isn't it? It's been hard to get it going, but I like that. You know how they've presented Jade as a champion, and putting her in big spots, and also teaming her up with Bianca, who will be the best trainer she can get.
Yeah,
is you know, it's not a bad thing. It's not setting the world alight, these stories right now, unfortunately, but it's good. It's good exposure for Lash and Jakara.
Yes, it is. Yeah,
and it's an array of talent in the ring, so it'd be fun. It'd be a really fun match, I'd imagine. Mm. One of which I expect. Ooh, do you know what? No, I'm going to go for a title change here. I'm going to go with an outside bet and say Metaphor.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And then start something with Jade and Bianca.
Interesting. I mean, I'd love to see Io and Kairi get the win. Not good, like, form for those. It feels like they're having a real, obviously with Damage Control being affected by injury and stuff this year, it doesn't feel like this year's their year at all. Probably having a Bayley-esque year like last year, where you just, you know, go through that run of just loss after loss and maybe get something next. I think that'd be a great shout for Metaphor. Obviously you've got Jade and Bianca that are just super, super dominant. I think Jade's lost one match so far this year.
So for the season, the team of Belair and Cargill 480 points.
480 points.
They are the most successful tag team.
That's a tag team. Bear in mind, so tag teams get double points, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Per placement, that is.
Yep.
So bear in mind, that's how many points they've had this year. PCO's on 460 after how long? A couple of weeks?
Yeah, very limited matches.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous. but honestly, right, I'm going with a wild prediction for this one. It's got to be Chelsea Green's time, surely.
They won't pull the trigger, will they?
I've got to do it. Chelsea and Piper.
Well, I wouldn't be mad.
I would be delighted. Put me down.
Would you... I mean, are you so confident you would draft them? Would you recommend Green and Niven as a draft pick for the upcoming rounds of Fantasy Faction?
Oh, God, no. Absolutely not. I mean, I think Chelsea Green's on... Wow, is she on zero? Surely not.
Chelsea Green?
Oh. Chelsea Green this year? She's had victories, right?
Chelsea Green is minus 40.
28% win average, Chelsea Green. 32 matches, 1-9. Pipes.
Even worse.
Yeah, it's not great.
No, but you know, that could indicate that it will be their time. Anyway, you've got to pull that. Got to pull the string back, get some losses, and then boom, you're off to the moon, Chelsea.
Yes, it's going to happen. So yeah, that's my prediction for that match.
Would not be mad at that. From one title match to another. So LA Knight, in an unusual move for a babyface, just took over that best of seven series and thought, no, I'm going to be the man on this one. And then the GM, Nick Aldis, has said, well, if you're going to do that, then I'm going to do this, which is usually what you do to a heel, you know what I mean? And so that's their comeuppance. Not mad that this match is happening. It's going to be great. I love a triple threat, as I always say. Carmelo and Andrade have really gelled in this series, so you know they can go, and LA Knight adds what LA Knight does. Mm-hmm. So be a great match. Just you know, unusual way of booking it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but then I just could I criticize the US title spot at the minute? Probably. It's miles better than it was under Logan Paul. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I'm just looking forward to an absolute banger. This is what Triple H did when he first kind of got the reins, and he just really elevated. You know, he couldn't do much with the world titles because obviously they were all wrapped up, and he really elevated the IC in the US, and there were just banger matches. And this is all I'm looking for this. Do you know what I mean? I know it's going to be a great match. It might end up stealing the night. I can't wait to watch it. You know, we've seen already what Andrade and what Carmelo can do. Throw LA Knight into the mix and slightly different style, but yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be so good. I'm going to go for an LA Knight retention, I think.
I am too, yeah. And then, yeah, once LA Knight retains, you can then go back and have that game 7 of Andre and Carmelo, which, if things line up well, the Baseball World Series is on right now. If they can line up game 7, should it happen with this, then there's a cross-marketing sort of thing you can do there. But the Yankees are 2-0 up against the... the Dodgers are 2-0 up against the Yankees at the minute. but we'll see. Next two games are back in New York.
Only thing I would say about this one is what would be interesting. Survivor Series is around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Bron Breakker is Intercontinental Champion. If you put the US title on Carmelo, and then you had a little friendly wager between GMs, Team Bron, Team Melo, build your squad, could just be an interesting way of doing the brand tag match. But with those two captaining up opposing teams, we know the kind of rivalry they can have, and they're not together at the minute, but it'd be special.
Yeah. I miss Survivor Series matches.
Yeah.
I always thought they were so cool. And then it seemed like as time went on, it was like, well, we can't have all these people getting pinned. It doesn't make anyone look strong. But I miss them. The 4-on-4s, the 5-on-5s. It's a good way of getting a load of people on the card too. No reason why you can't do your Survivor matches and, you know, end with a big old War Games one at the end.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I like that. Carmelo Hayes versus Bron Breakker. I think we saw live, right? That was the LA main event. Yeah.
Yep.
So we know they can go.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Right, then, so next up, before we get into my next tangent for the episode,
okay,
Seth Rollins, Bronson Reed again. Very excited for this
singles match.
Yes.
So, I don't know. Yeah, it singles match when a rivalry is this heated can either kind of fall flat, or depending on how the match can go, this could really put Bronson Reed on the map. If he, you know, Seth will get his moments in the match, but if Bronson Reed can really bring out his physical, menacing, just dominant side, then he could run a train through Seth Rollins. So yeah, it could be a great opportunity to sort of do that. If Seth gets the win, as believable as it is, because Seth just downs monsters and kings and beasts, Bronson Reed needs a good convincing win here. It'd be a really good opportunity for him. I think Triple H is putting lots of stock in Bronson Reed, and rightly so. He could be one of those guys. You know, Braun Strowman for his dominance, quite injury prone. So who's getting the monster mantle? It's not seemingly it's not Omos. And you've got to have, you know, your monsters on the roster. So I think Bronson needs to be that guy. And if Bronson might never come back. So we need we've lost Lashley, so we need more beasts.
We do indeed. Yeah, and until the return of Keith Lee.
Right.
I mean, imagine a Royal Rumble return where Reed's been going on this absolute tear, just ripping shit apart.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get a Keith Lee return at the Rumble. Oh, woo.
Big E would be salivating.
Oh, he would. He would indeed. I'll go.
Big E back too.
I'll go Reed on this one.
Nice. Okay. We'll have two matches to go shortly. The Crown Stool Championship matches.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe you had another question.
I did. So, in the spirit of these, how these two championship matches have come about and what they mean, all time champion versus champion. Women's match, men's match, one-on-one, big, incredibly distasteful, horrible-looking title belts on the line for the ultimate forever, best ever, super-duper world champ. Women's match, Who would you pick? Who would you book in? Out of every women's champion ever.
So first of all, quick note: I'm having those crown jewel belts, mate.
You
offer me one of that, I'm wearing that. I'm wearing that.
Yeah, it'd go really well with that flat cap.
I'm a Newcastle United collection.
There's no accounting for taste.
Yeah, all time. So world champion versus, I guess, you know, traditional WWE women's champion. So when I think of WWF, WWE women's champion and sort of the best there, I'm going Trish Stratus. Just effect on the business, the, you know, her just emerging from the, you know, that time in WWE, it would be very easy to put her in the blonde bimbo category. And, you know, some of her character definitely played to that early on. Mm-hmm. If you can forgive me for using the term bimbo. But coming out of that, she would get into like hardcore matches. She'd be busted up. She'd be working with the Dudleys. She multiple title reigns, the banger she put on with Lita, the storyline she would get into with Mickie James, just an absolute trailblazer in, you know, what we see in the women's division today. Trish's effect on that can't be discounted. Getting the women out of that era and into a better era. I don't think anyone did it as well as Trish. So yeah, she's got to be in there for me. You know, if we're thinking of, you know, the crown jewels of wrestling, is, you know, if we could take the Saudi out of it and actually think of the literal crown jewels of wrestling, I think Trish Stratus is absolutely one of those.
Okay.
And then I would have her go against, so is it the new women's world championships not been around for very long. So I'm thinking like, you know, Raw, SmackDown, those kinds of world champions too. I think Charlotte as well. I think for what Trish did during that time, there was also definitely a changing of the culture in women's wrestling, where Charlotte was quite at the forefront of that, and in-ring ability. I've said it ad nauseum how much I think of Charlotte's talents and impact and aura. Yes, you can say she's Ric Flair's daughter, but she has to carry the aura of Flair too, and you can crumble under that pressure, and she hasn't. She's coming sort of her own right. So yeah, there's other people for over time. China, Lita, Bianca more recently.
But you're thinking Trish versus Charlotte.
That would be my crown jewel of the women's
nice
wrestling. Yep.
Nice. Yep. Nice. Good picks. I think mine, I was torn between two. So I think my old school would be China. Mm-hmm. And I think my modern age, I was torn between Charlotte and Asuka.
Mm.
Because you went Charlotte, I'll probably go Asuka just to be different. But Charlotte and China would have been a banger.
Yeah.
That would have been absolutely immense. And then over to the men's then.
Okay. So this one, I did go for a more literal, like, who is that big gold world heavyweight champion, and who is the, you know, WWF champion, which is probably the crown jewel of pro wrestling, right? And who held that title in such esteem? One is easier than the other. The world heavyweight champion, the big gold, Ric Flair.
Yeah.
You know, amazing wrestler, promo king, world traveled. Just he's in that royalty category in pro wrestling. So, and then I was thinking, you know, WWE, WWF champions. I thought about Undertaker, you know, because he's quite a crown jewel of pro wrestling. Austin's, Rock's, Michaels. But ultimately, I think the best match I can get out of this, I want to go Bret Hart. I'd go Bret Hart, Ric Flair.
Oh, what a
crown
match.
Jewel of Wrestling Championship.
Oh.
I think that's, yeah, it's top of the card stuff.
Oh, yeah, that is, oh, forget whatever I was going to say. Just book that. That is glorious.
Did I sell that well?
Personality versus technical ability. Oh, mm-hmm. And the figure four versus the sharpshooter. It's everything. Oh,
yeah.
Books itself. Books itself.
Hashtag hire me Tony.
Yeah, that would be just absolutely glorious. Yeah, book it. Love it. Let's move on to the actual matches that we've got.
What's yours?
So, I'm going with that, what you said. I mean, I was kind of, in my head, I was thinking heritage in terms of, you know, the origins of the tradition, the just purebred wholesomeness of the title, mm-hmm. and Bruno came to mind.
Mm. Yeah.
And then the name that was just when I think heavyweight champion, who, what's the face, what's the name that pops up? Because like, I never think Undertaker when I think of the title. Like, and you know, there's certain, like, even Michaels, I don't really think of, I think of him separate from the championship.
Yeah.
The big gold belt, I always think of like Triple H. That image is just pretty iconic. Mm-hmm. I think those, him and that title were a good fit. But honestly, when I think world heavyweight champ, I think Austin. So I think, and probably from the generation that we were from, it's probably largely down to that. Mm-hmm. But also just huge names in terms of the history of not only the company, but the industry as a whole, you know?
Yeah.
Bruno doing so much for Vince Sr. And building those blocks and, you know, establishing the, I think, the kind of gravitas that is behind that particular strap. Mm-hmm. And then Austin for everything he did to elevate and project forward and just shoot everything forward and make the way, you know, pave the way for people like Cena and Roman and everybody else.
A lot of people paid. Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah. Yeah. But honestly, Fuller Heart all day long. Book it.
We're going to put that up in a graphic too this week and get that out before Crown Jewel. We'll have our fantasy Crown Jewel matches there. That was fun. That was a good one.
I like it.
Got me thinking about what I care about in pro wrestling, you know?
That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Naya, this year currently on a 48% win loss and Liv on a 64. So Naya's had a lot more matches. She's had 54 matches, Liv having 34, but Liv having the higher of the win percentage.
Think about this match is, you know, when you get these champion versus champions, not that it hasn't worked before, but when you look at it on paper, it's a Nia Jax squash match.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, my feeling when you have these kinds of matches, it's like irresistible force, immovable object type thing. It's a real coming together. It's a 50-50, like who's gonna really come out of this, because these two champions are supposed to be at the tippity top kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, but saying that, you've still got that element of the Money in the Bank briefcase and what that could all mean and how that could get all exciting if all that goes on. So I think it'll be fun because you'll have Judgment Day there. There'll probably be some antics at ringside. I would expect Nia Jax to come out on top and take it. But the arrogance that you could add to Liv's character and the just cockiness, if she were to win, then she stakes her claim more as being just the greatest women's champion of all time. And all that heat that comes with her and Dom's character right now, thus making it all that great when Rhea Ripley finally gets the win. So
yeah,
I think I want Liv to win this with a cash in. I think Nia will lose her belt.
I was going to ask that because there's all sorts that could happen with Ripley, with Bloodline, with the cash in. And I could see it too. I could definitely see it.
If I'm not mistaken, I don't think it's possible to cash in for the Crowdy Saudi belt, the Crown Jewel Saudi belt.
That's my fear. So my fear is that you can cash in for any belt, is my understanding.
Mm.
So she could cash in for that, but what an absolute disaster that would be.
So she cashes in, making it a triple threat, and she pins Nia, for example. Obviously, so which belt? And is it one or is it both? Because are you having two one-on-one matches in one? Because there's no women's championship match. So that has to then start a new match while the Saudi belt match is going on.
I think we get the result and then we get the cash in.
Yeah, they don't want to book themselves into that corner, do they?
No, absolutely not.
That's so complicated.
Oh, God, no. But I hope is that, like, Nia, I really hope that, like, Nia doesn't win and then she gets cashed in on and she's got a choice of two belts to pick up and she picks up the Crown Jewel one. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, she would. It looks great.
Oh, no, that's horrendous. It's just gross. It's gross.
Oh, lots of fun you could have with it, but I don't know if they would.
No, please.
We put up a post a couple of weeks ago that if some way it did happen and Tiffy cashes in and ends up with the Saudi belt, it's like 200 points. And I think it enticed people to draft Tiffany quietly for the round, but I don't think it'll happen. But if it does, it's points, baby.
She's burying herself if she does that. I'm telling you, burying herself.
Or bringing the heat on herself.
Oh, God. Right.
Oh, wait. Who's winning? Let's... Who's winning for you?
I'm going to go Liv.
You're going to go Liv? I'm going to go Liv too. Are you saying a cash in?
Yes.
Oh, me too. What a card. What a night this is turning out to be.
Oh, I mean, to be fair, if this was on paper, I love this card. I think it's great.
It is.
It's going to be a good event.
The Crown Prince does put together a good card.
It really does.
Okay. To the last one then. Our boy Walter Gunther.
Yes.
When I saw Gunther's name, then I don't know. My brain went to Walter, and then from Walter to Progress, and then I remembered Progress on a good show happening this weekend. Luke Jacobs versus Man Like Darice for the men's championship. I met Darice in Philadelphia. He was my friend who I went with fancied him, so I went over and bought some of his merch. And then I pointed over to her. I was like, that's my friend over there. She won't come over because she fancies you. And he's a really nice guy. He seems like a very humble dude, very appreciative. I like him. I like him a lot.
Excellent. And then he
Lizzie Evo versus Rio for the women's championship. So much like Saudi, we've got two big title matches there. Anyone who's in on Progress knows those are big names in those matches there. and Simon Miller's going for a title as well.
Yeah, it's all going on. Mm-hmm. Love to see it. Love to see it.
Oh, I do want to give a quick mention. So, Instagram at Ant the Editor. There's a guy called Anthony Jones who I went to Widnes College with, mm-hmm. who does media for Progress pretty on the regular. And I haven't spoke to him in years, but I always knew him as a really sound guy. He was one of the really nice ones that you really nice to talk to, really friendly guy. And so, just wanted to give him a mention real quick because he's seems to be doing really well for himself and working in the wrestling space. So I'm really happy.
Good lad.
Anthony Good Jones, lab. His name is. Yep. Right.
Let's get main to event it. Time. So Gunther, 230 points for the year so far.
Beast.
Cody Rhodes, 430 points for the year so far. 200 ahead of Cody. Average points per round, Gunther's 38.3 against Cody's 71.7.
Jeez.
Cody's got the on-paper advantage. But I don't know. How do you not give this to Gunther?
It's a case of it's not who as much who you're picturing to win. Who can lose? It can't be no contest. We can't be screwed with these. There has to be a championship celebration.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I mean we talked way earlier in the episode about that it was Cody turn and the things that could lead to it. But then Cody's the poster boy of the WWE, so him with the crown jewel title, with the prince and the... So there's that. Is it from the marketing standpoint of it?
Yeah, I can absolutely see them wanting the WrestleMania finish. So send everyone home happy. Good guy wins. Yeah. Cody's got the big shiny belt. Everything's wonderful. That's if this match is the main event, which I imagine it will be because it's the belt. But everything inside me says that I should be saying Cody, but I'm going Gunther.
Yeah, it just adds to the Cody frustration that maybe they're turning it. Oh God, I'm gonna go with the marketing booking.
Probably wise.
Nightmare. Cody
Probably
Rhodes
wise.
Gets his pictures with the prince and the king.
Yeah.
And that's that. Yeah. Oh, no. I've got it. It's so simple. Cody Rhodes wins because Goldberg spears Gunther.
Of course it is.
That's it.
Of course it is. And then, as Cody lifts the belt up, the Rock's music hits. He comes down rock bottom, pins Cody, takes the title, and then not only is he the people's champ, but he's also the Saudi champ. And now he's got two completely fucking useless belts to carry around.
Oh my God, he's the final boss. This is Dr. Robotnik collecting Sonic's gems.
Chaos Emeralds.
Oh, Chaos Emeralds, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my
God. Thanos collecting the stones. This is what he's going to do.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Please.
It's so funny. It's massive, massive John Terry full kit energy.
Yeah. It's such ego.
Yeah.
And he did it at WrestleMania with Roman, like after the tag match. He put his belt in front of Roman. He put himself at the forefront of the shot.
Uh-huh.
It's such ego. It's brilliant.
Yeah, and then when he came back the other week and he had it on, it was like, oh, what?
It was bestowed upon him by the wife of Muhammad Ali. It's the important belt in the world. So that's our final prediction, is it? After everything, we are saying The Rock walks away.
Rock walks away with two belts.
All right, you heard it here first, folks.
Yeah.
Fantasy Faction Podcast. The Rock is the new Saudi champ.
Love it. There you have it, I think.
What does that mean for Fantasy Faction then? Okay. So as we said earlier in the show, it looks like PCO has gotten Nikolai over the line again. He's going to hold on to the crown in our new Chase the Crown game. But going into the last week, it's really going to benefit the people who drafted in people who at the wrestlers who are wrestling at Crown Jewel. Whichever team finishes with the most points at the end of this week will hold the crown. And this is the last week, so they will be the new Fantasy Faction crown holders.
Nice.
And then, ladies and gentlemen, get your new draft picks in if you have any team changes before the following Monday Night Raw. So it'll be the Raw after Crown Jewel, which will be the deadline. And you want to be thinking about Survivor Series. We're going to be playing three games in one. Now, let me check my time here so I make sure I've got it all right. We're going to be playing the usual league format. We're going to be returning to that after the crown. 3 weeks is enough crowning. We're going to do the league format. We're going to then also bring back our yearly Survivor game, which we've been playing for the last 2 years leading up to Survivor Series. And basically what that is a week-to-week game where you'll have to score big points each week, because we're going to eliminate a certain amount of teams each week. The lowest scoring teams will be eliminated from the overall Survivor game. If you make it to the end of the round, Survivor Series, still a Survivor, then you will have 100 points added to your final league score. So, pays to have a faction that will grind those points out week to week. You also want to look at AEW because they have 30,000 title matches a week. Something like that. Maybe you want to get PCO in. And also thinking about your captains as well, because they get double points. And then we're going to add a third game.
Because why not?
Why not?
Triple crown.
Triple crown. Exactly. There you go. It's a triple crown round. This is going to be surrounding the bloodline. It's a very simple pick your allegiance game. So there will be team Roman, original bloodline. There will be a team new bloodline. Each faction, you're going to pick one or the other. Assuming that we're going to have a War Games match, and that it will be bloodline versus bloodline, whichever ones come out of that match the victors, you will then get 100 points, another 100 points added to your final league score, should the team you pick win. If you, for any factions that aren't able to select a team beforehand, we'll then take those and put them in randomly in one or the other. So it is pick your allegiance to Bloodline. Roman or solo? Nice. Hope that made sense.
Nice. Well played, sir. There was a lot to get through there. Very well done.
Matches in space are happening. The Bloodline era is going on for the next decade. It's all happening, man.
And if this, listening to this, has helped turn that crown upside down, then by all means, give us a follow on the socials. Find us on Instagram, the Fantasy Faction. We're pretty much the only one in the entire world still, because, you know, we can't be touched. And if you want to set up your own team, 8 singles, 1 tag from any of the big, the biggies, I will say, WWE, AEW, TNA, Ring of Honor, all in there. Do it, reach out, let us know who you've picked, and get involved.
All right, thank you, everyone. Hey, who said we can't do outros?
Look at that.
That'd be our best one ever.
Nailed it.
Wait, hold on. Oh, shit. Wait, hold on. Oh.